such sights to show you.
Welcome to the 17th episode of the Sirens of Scream, the geek podcast that proves sometimes dead is better. I'm Melissa Megan, and I'm here tonight with Sierra Houck.
Hello.
And Jackie DeVore.
Hello.
And tonight, it's just going to be the three of us. We're going to have a fun little chat. This week, we're going to look forward into the upcoming year in horror and give you lots of ideas of what to watch for in 2017. We are actually going to skip our usual recommendation section here because the entire show is basically going to be
giant
recommendations.
Yeah. A lot of recommendations.
So I think we're just going to jump right into it tonight. And we both have some really amazing lists for you guys and tons of stuff that we're looking forward to. While the year of 2017 brings with it a heaping pile of political horror, we should not despair, for there will always be a large supply of terrifying entertainment that we can use to escape reality. Since our last episode was a nostalgic and educational journey through horror history, we thought it would be fun to tonight bring you some carefully curated lists of what's to come for the new year. We've taken a slightly different approach to the show by delegating the collection of these lists between each of us. And as such, we'll take turns presenting our goods to you categorically. While we love our horror sloppy and chaotic, we prefer our presentation to be neat and clean, much like Patrick Bateman likes his date nights.
Silent.
I know. That was a silly joke. I'm sorry. So basically, we all kind of made it our goal to come up with some really nice curated lists, and kind of each of us took our, I guess you could say, our specialties. Jackie's going to bring us some awesome horror games coming up in 2017. Sierra's got some movies and TV. Actually, a lot of movies and TV.
There's a lot. We can briefly touch on some of these.
And I've brought a list of some comic books that I'm looking forward to. And then I think we've got a couple of sort of random things that we're going to throw onto the end that maybe don't quite fit in neatly into these categories. Jackie, I think I'll throw it to you first.
All right. I've got quite a list going on here, so I'm just going to mention each of these briefly. One thing that we do know with the games world is that when a studio says it's coming out in a particular year, that is not always solid. So
more of a suggestion.
Yeah, don't anybody email me angrily like, this didn't come out this year, what's going on here, like, take it up with them. So I'm gonna say my favorites on this list for last, but let's start out with the Friday the 13th game, which is coming out by Gun Media, and it'll be on PC, Xbox One, and PS4. It's a third person multiplayer. One player is Jason and the rest are the campers and counselors. And that's coming out sometime this spring, so that should be a lot of fun, just running away from Jason constantly.
I've been watching that game being produced a little bit, because I think it was kickstarted, and then now it's, like, slowly finally getting to be released. And it looks really cool. It seems like you can either play as Jason or play as kids.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like the multiplayer stuff will come out first, and then they'll patch in like a single player story version.
That's always fun. I'm like constantly on the lookout for decent multiplayer games. And I know that we've actually been talking about doing a multiplayer game live, so maybe this will be on our list in the future.
Yeah. And it seems like the people who are making it are very much in love with the original, like, VHS watching experience. So it sounds like it's going to be really true to the original movie.
Yeah, that's always like a huge plus. I would so much rather a passion project come out of some like indie studio somewhere than some like big shiny
super
piece of
thing.
Mess come out from a big studio.
Can I ask very quickly, Jackie, related to this, if you've dug into Until Dawn yet?
Not quite yet. No, it's still sitting like we actually just bought it right before our last episode, but we haven't had time to play it quite yet, but it's right there. I promise I will get to it.
I'm waiting for like, your review.
Like it's like burning a hole in my like game pocket here, you know. Actually, what's been keeping me up lately in terms of games isn't even horror at all. It's this video game called Ark that's basically Minecraft with dinosaurs.
Aww.
And I've like been
that
playing it
like
all
fun.
Into the morning, like getting eaten by T-Rexes and shit. It's fun. But next on our list is Resident Evil 7, which is actually coming out from Capcom. I love Capcom. They're a bigger studio, but they tend to do very fun things. And Resident Evil, it's kind of shocking that it's gotten to a 7th version.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is just the game that never ends, but a lot of times that's in a really good way. So this is going to be coming out for PC, Xbox One, PS4. And it's supposed to be a new take on the genre. It's first-person view, and it's set in a plantation mansion. This is coming out later this month, so we'll hear about this one sooner than the rest of these on this list. What's particularly interesting to me on this is that it's VR compatible, so I'd really like to see how that goes down. Like, this is the kind of thing that I'm going to be looking for YouTube videos of people who have never played Resident Evil games before doing it on VR and just, like, that's fucking shitting so themselves over it. It's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, you guys know I'm a big sissy about horror games, but first person, like, takes it out of the equation for me. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't look down at my pretend character and know that it's pretend. It's too hard.
And the next one is Pamela, which this is one that you should really look up a trailer for. In fact, we may actually, I don't know what you ladies think, but maybe we'll put some trailers on the episode notes for this for collective list. Pamela is coming out from NVYVE Studios, and that's just on PC. It's an optional roguelike, which means you can decide whether or not it's a permadeath kind of thing. A roguelike, if you're not sure what the game terminology there, it's basically you're going through the game. If you die, you have to start all the way back at the beginning. So anybody that played The Binding of Isaac and was like, this is fucking bullshit. I was on the third basement. I have to start over again. That's what you're going to get with this. Luckily, it is optional, though. This is a sci-fi horror with randomized bionic attachments, and you need to manage an island's power. Yeah. You need to manage an island's power while its residents are stricken with a disease that causes rapid bone growth. And I in my notes here, it literally says it's hard to describe. Watch the trailer. This comes out in February. It's one of those games that I feel like is going to be a pretty big mind fuck. Like, this is a game that is definitely going to go on my Steam list and that I will be on the lookout for personally, because that's the kind of game that I'm really into, aside from the roguelike nonsense. Because seriously, who is that masochistic? Like, that's just asking to get mad at yourself and everything. Next is Outlast 2 from Red Barrel Studios. And we've talked about Outlast a few times on this show. Outlast, if you haven't heard us talk about it before, is basically you're a journalist who goes into this asylum on some anonymous notes. And you're in there with just your video camera trying to figure out what's going on. And your video camera is not only your way of recording what's going on, but it's your only source of light and your only source of night vision here. And you're basically dropped into this fucking creepy, super, super creepy asylum and are instantly chased by crazy, mutant, literally crazy people. A lot of them are trying to kill you. Some of them are just in the corner wishing for death. Some of them just look straight up terrifying and pop out at you. You're unraveling this mystery and you find this whole religious element to it, which kind of adds a layer of creepiness to it. Outlast 2 is supposed to have more religious tones to it, and this one is set in the Arizona desert, and it follows two journalists as they investigate the murder of an anonymous pregnant woman. This is set to come out sometime in the first, like, 3 or 4 months of 2017, but a hard date hasn't been set yet. I swear, like, I watched the trailer for this, and I can't put my finger on it, but I swear I've seen an X-Files episode just like this. I swear I have, like, with the,
it does
like,
an sound familiar.
Yeah, I can't put my finger on it, but if I figure it out, we're coming back to that, I promise.
To be fair, X-Files has a long history, so you could probably attach a lot of these games.
Oh, for sure.
You could say, yeah. Oh yeah, I've seen that in the X-Files.
I'd love to see, like, an extensive list of works of horror that have been directly influenced by the X-Files. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like it could go on for quite a while, like, just things that have specifically been influenced by X-Files storylines and shit, or characters. Tombs himself, I think, has probably spawned several things. Anyway,
he's obviously not an Xbox player, because everything on this list says X-Bone on it.
Yeah, X-Bone. Oh yeah, so Outlast is just coming on. Well, it's actually PC, Mac, Xbox One, and PS4. So that one's actually coming out on quite a few. We're going to skip over the next one and go to Days Gone, which is only coming out on PS4, and this is a Sony Bend game. This is an open-world zombie game by the creator of Siphon Filter, and this has really fast zombies.
Nope.
No,
thank you.
Yeah. Not for you? Yeah.
Nah.
This is one I would love to see have VR capabilities.
That'd be
this bad. Is one that's gonna take some people down. This doesn't have a set date sometime in 2017, which probably means 2019. Mm-hmm. And the next one is Hello Neighbor by Dynamic Pixels. Your neighbor is up to something, and you need to figure out what it is. Break into his house and find out. Inspired by Rear Window and Don't Breathe, It features dynamic AI that learns your playstyle over time. Stealth-based first-person gameplay.
That sounds really interesting. Yeah. I wonder how it's supposed to, like, adapt to your playstyle. Yeah. Like, if you only hide and stay still, maybe it, like, makes it so you just can't do that and you have to kind of move around or something.
That's the impression I get. Like, it basically makes it a little bit harder depending on what style you choose to play in. Mm-hmm. It'll start targeting you based on it. That one's another to be announced in 2017. Next one is Visage, which is an old-fashioned but new 3D graphics kind of point-and-click horror game. This is only coming out on PC, and it's an indie studio called Sad Square Studio. You explore a haunted house and interact with items to uncover secrets. Manage stress and sanity levels, similar to Amnesia, but the game itself looks similar to Gone Home and is inspired by PT and Amnesia. This one has a really good gameplay trailer, so if you want to like get excited for something, this is another one that you should take a look. It's coming out in March. I had an interesting conversation earlier with somebody else about managing stress and sanity levels in games and how that adds like such an extra layer of immersion to the games. Like it really sucks you into the environment there that, you know, suddenly your game is getting blurry and
that's cool.
Yeah, you can hear your heartbeat and your breathing and you feel it so much more. And then suddenly something's chasing and it's like, holy fucking shit, I can't even get away.
I feel like that mechanic, they try to do that in some horror board games too.
How does that translate to
It's a little harder, like more, I'm thinking of Betrayal on the House of the Hill, which is one of my favorites, where like based on what kind of character you're playing, like if you're the smart old scientist guy, you're going to have really high will and like smarts, but then like pretty low strength and stuff, and so like your stamina is kind of low.
Yeah. Okay.
And then once you like get to a certain point, you either like something bad will happen, like you'll die, or like you have to reset somewhere or something like that, just like generally speaking.
So it basically adds that layer of frustration because you can't
do certain things. For sure.
Gotcha. That's cool. Next we have System Shock by Night Dive Studios, and this one's going to be on PC and Xbox One. This is a ground up remake of the 1994 classic System Shock with updated graphics and combat systems. I actually did not play the first System Shock, so I'm not quite sure what to expect from this, but this is a game that started a lot of things in the horror and sci-fi genre, so I do know this is like going to be going home for a lot of people here that are really into games. It's more of a sci-fi take on this world, and the gameplay is a lot like the BioShock series. But you're going to have to wait a long time for this one because it says December of 2017 is when it's coming out.
So yeah, like 2018, probably. They mean.
next one we have is Tangiers, which is from the studio Andalusian. And this is going to be on PC, Mac, and Linux. This is a dark game based in the 20th century that's inspired by the Thief series. Melissa, this sounds like something you would be into to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's development is in trouble, but the team is working on it. So there's no particular announced release date, but players will explore a world that, quote, defies the laws of the universe. You collect spoken words that physically materialize. The ultimate goal is to kill 5 people, but we don't know why.
I love period games in general, like putting you into a time period when you get like amazing costumes and really like you get to explore like an environment that's out of time.
Yeah, that's exactly what made me think of you on this one.
That's why I keep playing Assassin's Creed over and over again, even though it's the same game. It's like, oh, I get to see Paris. I want to see London.
So next we have The Hum Abductions, which is from Totwise Studios. It's for PC and Mac and PS4. Part of the Hum universe of games serving as a prequel. Other games in this series are The Hum and Alien Abduction Simulator. This is a first-person story-driven game. It has no specific release date, and very little information has really come out about it. But the Hum universe typically has some pretty good followers and pretty good reviews, so I guess we'll see what holds true for this one.
Have either of you played those other ones?
No.
I haven't heard of them at all, but I would totally be interested in what an alien abduction simulator looks like.
Right?
Maybe I'll have to find that.
Next one is Dead Island 2, and Dead Island, the first one, is wildly popular. So this is, I would imagine,
going to be a big one.
Yeah, this is going to be a hotly anticipated release. This is from Sumo Digital, and it's going to be on PC, Xbox One, and PS4. This is a first-person, open-world zombie survival game set in California. This has actually been considered one of the best zombie games in recent years. Well, the first one was, rather. The second one was delayed several times since 2015, but never officially canceled. And supposedly it is coming out this year, but There's no promise on that.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. If it comes out, I anticipate this is going to be something that zombie fans are just going to be all the fuck over. Mm-hmm. But they've been scorned before. Speaking of scorn, the next game is called Scorn. From Ebb Software. It's just going to be on PC. This one is no cutscenes, no HUD. This is all inventory and ammo management, and it takes place in the game. Immersion is off the charts in a game that's set up like this. This is the kind of game that you get into it, and there's nothing to really pull you out of being in that environment, basically. There's nothing that's going to pop up and say, you need to check this or read mm-hmm. this story or you need to go talk to that. You basically just get into it and figure it out mostly by yourself and go around this world. And I honestly don't even know what this world is going to be like. It's an open world maze. This is part one of two is going to be released early in 2017. I'm sorry I don't have more info on that one.
I'm sure as these come out, everything that we talk about today, we will be digesting all of these things throughout the year. So you'll probably hear these names come up.
The one thing that I have read from Scorn is that in terms of immersion, if you're the kind of person that really loves to get into games, then this is going to be one to look out for. The next one is Allison Road from the studio Far From Home. This will be on PC, Linux, and Mac. And this is a photorealistic first-person survival horror, another spiritual successor to PT. It was canceled in June of 2016, but has risen from the ashes under a new label. In this game, you wake up one night in a suburban British home and must investigate what happened to the family living above you before 3:15 a.m. My question is, what happens
then?
Yeah. If you're wondering, well, you're going to have to play it. The next game we have is Routine by Lunar Software, and this is just going to be on PC. In this, you will explore an abandoned moon base to find out why the crew has mysteriously vanished. This is another roguelike, and it's totally immersive, so you'll get really, really into this game and then be furious that you have to start it all over again because something ate you.
Something ate you. That happens all the time.
There'll be randomly generated hazards, and this is a very small development team. There's only four people. And typically, games like that that have such a small team are either incredible and, you know, the kind of magic that big studios can never capture, or they just don't have the resources. So this is going to be interesting which way it goes here. And next we have Perception, which is from Deep End Games. And this one is a first-person game where you play as a blind girl investigating a mansion that haunts her nightmares.
That sounds which just so sounds good.
Epically cool. Yeah. The view is interesting in that you can only see what she hears. Classic poltergeist story using echolocation for navigation. It really sounds pretty incredible. And it seems to have a lot of reminiscence to games like Gone Home and Firewatch. And this is definitely one that you're going to want to watch the trailer on because it just looks so cool. But there's no release date for that one. I'm going to go back in my list here to games that I'm particularly looking forward to. One of them is We Happy Few, which we've talked about before. Melissa, I think you were the one that mentioned that one.
This wasn't, I keep thinking about the one that CR mentioned that was in the morgue.
Yeah, that one does look pretty fucking cool. That one's not on my list because we talked about it in depth before. We Happy Few, this is coming out from Compulsion Games, and it's for PC, Linux, and Xbox One. This is another roguelike, and it's a procedurally generated Orwellian alternate history game about Nazis and drugs. This is one that the art style looks fucking creepy as hell, and I'm so into it. Basically, everybody's going on with these painted happiness masks, and they're taking a drug called Joy. Basically, if you're not happy and acting happy and acting like you should be in this game, then you will be attacked by these other people. And you're going to uncover the mystery of why this is happening here, how society got this way, while being attacked for not being one of them. And it is, like, honestly, the art style has got me hooked. I've been looking for this game since last summer. It's crazy. It's out in early access now. I haven't played the early access. I'm always weary about early accesses because if it sucks, then it can totally ruin it for you, even if they patch it on the final release. But this is one that you're going to have to watch the trailer for because it just looks incredible. Another one I want to mention specifically is What Remains of Edith Finch. This is a collection of short playable stories. This is by a small studio in Santa Monica and it's going to come out for PC and PS4. But this game basically puts you into a house that has a history for each individual room. Every single room in this big old house has this weird, immersive, creepy story that always ends in death. So you are going through this house, figuring out these various mysteries, basically putting together the puzzle of the Finch family. And it looks really cool. It looks like a very story-driven kind of game. I'm not sure what the gameplay itself will be like other than the story, but it, in general, like, this is another trailer that you should take a look at. This will be a lot of fun. And lastly, I want to mention Overkill's The Walking Dead. And this is going to come out for PC, Xbox One, and PS4. And this is a co-op first-person shooter with elements of action, role-playing, survival horror, and stealth. And it promises to stay true to the original story. This is a game that has been talked about for the last 2 or 3 years. And there is a Walking Dead games out now that are just basically walkthrough stories.
I mean, the Telltale games?
Yeah, the Telltale games. This is not like that. This is you're actually in the world, The Walking Dead, and you're running around shooting zombies. And the reason I want to single this one out is this is the release launch that I went to in 2015. And I actually played this game back with Overkill Studios there. And I mean, they only had a small amount of gameplay available at the time, but it looks really fucking cool. And Overkill, they poured their heart and soul into the games that they make. And it's kind of insane and intense the way they put their games together. So I'm really looking forward to this. It's the kind of thing, if you're into The Walking Dead, you're really going to want to keep an eye out for this. And if you used to be into The Walking Dead and have kind of drawn away from it a little bit, this might bring you back to it. So I think this will be a lot of fun. And that's what I got for you guys. That's a lot to take in.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that one that I should have this link and I don't, that I sent to you earlier, that's like a role-playing video game?
Call of Cthulhu? Hang on
a second. Oh my god. That looks so much fun to me. I want to do a role-playing game about Cthulhu.
Yeah, it's the Call of Cthulhu game.
I like point-and-click horror games sometimes because it just kind of makes me feel like, okay, nothing's going to have to, like, I don't actually have to do any battle.
I don't need to respond really quickly.
Yeah, it's just like, you know that, like, either you're going to die in a situation or you're not going to die. Yeah. And there's no, you have no control over that.
Your fate's already decided for you. You know.
Yeah. But that's how I like my horror games. Just organized, and I already know what's like, I'm either going to die at the end or I'm not. I just got to keep pointing at things and opening up drawers and I'll be okay.
Yeah, one thing I like about the Call of Cthulhu, I don't know when it's coming out. Do you have a date on that?
Don't.
They don't even have a full website yet, but it looks really cool. The one thing I really am looking forward to is the art style of it. The art style looks really intricate and very dark. I'm very into it.
Apparently there was one, it's confusing, because there's another one called Call of Cthulhu Dark Corners of the Earth, which was released back in 2005.
There's also a board game called Call of Cthulhu, where you're all like investigators in a library and it takes forever to play and it's really like it'll take up your entire day.
This is actually based on that. It says based on it's an adaptation of Chaosium's pen and paper RPG.
And there's also the game Cthulhu Saves the World, which is
there's like a million Cthulhu games.
It's adorable but terrible.
Cthulhu's not saving the world.
Yeah. He's not interested in that.
Saving it for himself, maybe. I'm going to be covering comic books, and for those who are not comic book readers, it's a little bit tricky because a lot of comic book series will transfer from one year into the next. Often we'll start a new arc at the beginning of a year. So I really tried to find some new comic series that were coming out, but there were just two on my list in particular that are currently running that I think are really special enough to mention because they're continuing in this year. So it's a little bit tricky with comic books. So the first one is actually called AD After Death, and this is book 3. It's a series from Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire, who are both really incredible comic
book. Jeff Lemire is so good.
Yeah, yeah. And
his art is so amazing.
Yeah, Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire are kind of like a rock star team for me. And this is book 3, and there's 3 books in the series, so this is going to be the final book. So I'm just going to read you a little synopsis for each of these to make it really easy. Jonah Cook is on the run from a future he helped create, a future where death has been genetically cured. Yet he's finally come to accept that no matter how long he lives, he'll never escape his past. Now he's done the one thing that may put everyone left alive in jeopardy. The shocking conclusion of a sci-fi epic by two of comics' most acclaimed creators. So I think this one's really, I'm really looking forward to this because the first two are really incredible. And yeah, I really want to see what's going to happen with this story. And it's so fun when you have a long series like this that wraps up and then you can kind of wait for like a really nice hardcover edition to come out and put it on the shelf. The second one is not even horror, but I don't care. I've mentioned this one on the show before, and I have to mention it again because it's worth knowing about. Heathen Volume 2. It's going to be published by Vault Publishing. It's by Natasha Alterici, who I think will eventually get on this show to talk with us.
I hope so.
Heathen Volume 2 was funded by Kickstarter. So it's due out in the spring of 2017, and I did check with her today, and she confirms that it is on the way on time. So
very cool. Yay.
Heathen is the story of a Viking girl named Adis, who, I might be saying that wrong, I'm sorry, Natasha, if I am, who, after being banished from her village for kissing another girl, sets out on a mission to challenge the god King Odin. In Volume 1, she teamed up with the cursed Valkyrie Brynhild. She outwitted the shape-shifting Rudin and gained the favor of lustful god Freya. So in Volume 2, Adis will prepare to cross the Northern Sea to reach the land of the gods. To do so, she needs the help of a crew of badass lady pirates, vicious mermaids, and other immortals.
Yep. That sounds badass.
So yeah. It's not exactly horror, but it's fantasy and so badass that I cannot mention it. And I'm really, really excited about Volume 2 coming. So the other one I've got is called Beowulf from Image Comics. This is by Santiago Garcia and David Rubin. I think we all know the tale of Beowulf, and this does not go far from that tale. But if you look this up, the art of this looks really, really incredible and beautiful. And it's going to be a little bit of a different spin on it because it's a little bit of a more modern twist on the story. So Beowulf tells the tale of a Scandinavian hero in lands that will become what is now Denmark and Sweden. A monster named Grendel has arrived in the kingdom of the Danes, devouring its men and women for 12 years until Beowulf arrives to save them. Garcia and Rubin faithfully follow the original story for a new version that's neither revisionist nor postmodern, but captures the tone and important details of the poem, translating its potent epic resonance and melancholy into a contemporary comic that isn't standard swords and sorcery or heroic fantasy fare, but an ancient story with a modern perspective that remains respectful of the material. Yeah, I think Beowulf has always been a really cool story.
I've never thought about it before, but damn if that story doesn't lend itself to a really awesome modern comic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Telling. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I'm kind of a sucker for mythology in my horror and fantasy stories. So, and I like the artwork of this one, just feels dark enough that it feels like it's definitely got a more like horror twist to it. So yeah, I'm excited to check that out. Another one I'm really excited about is called Curse Words from Image. That's by Charles Soule and Ryan Brown. And this one, it just sounds really fucking weird and kooky. So I had to share this. A wizard has appeared in New York City and he's casting wonderful spells, getting famous, getting rich. But it's not. The wizard has everyone fooled. He's actually an evil wizard and evil things are on the way. Curse Words is a gonzo modern fantasy full of darkness, light, and magic.
That's fun.
And that is the actual Image synopsis of that book. The art of this is also kind of raw and edgy looking. And it just sounds like it's like the Ice King goes crazy in modern New York. I know. It just sounds so fun and awesome. Some of these, you know, are heavier and darker than others, but I wanted to mix in some fun, like fantasy sci-fi stuff too. So the next one I have is called The Old Guard from Image. This is by Greg Rucka and Leandro Fernandez, who are also two very heavy hitters in comic books. Greg Rucka is, for me, like a master of storytelling, so I will read pretty much anything he writes. But this looks really cool. It's the story of old soldiers who never die, and yet they cannot seem to fade away. They're trapped in an immortality without explanation. Andy and her comrades ply their trade for those who can find and afford their services. But in the 21st century, immortality is a hard secret to keep. And when you live long enough, you learn that there are many fates worse than death. So essentially, these are old soldiers who should be gone and dead, but they are now immortal, and they're working as mercenaries in modern day times. Yeah.
Sounds like it can get dark, like real fast.
Yeah. Greg Rucka is an amazing writer, but the thing that he really, really excels at is he really writes an entire world around characters, especially female characters. He's really great at writing. Like, if anybody's ever read Lazarus, is one of the best comics out there right now. He just really writes a fantastic. He also does Wonder Woman. He's one of the best writers of Wonder Woman. He handles women very well, and he fills out a character like nobody else. So the next one I have is Aliens Dead Orbit. And this is from Dark Horse Comics, because we can never have too many Aliens comics. Yep. By James Stokoe. I'm afraid I might be saying his name wrong. Aliens Dead Orbit is a very classic alien story. Finds an engineering officer trapped in a space station after a horrific accident, and he's forced to use all available tools, a timer, a utility kit, and his wits to survive an attack from the deadliest creature known to man, which we all know is Xenomorph.
Yeah.
Spoilers. Oh my god.
Which we all know is Ripley.
Ripley's now Xenomorph, mm-hmm. and she's killing everyone.
I would totally read that.
That would be great.
James Stokoe, let me see if I can find... He's done some really great... He's done some stuff. Let's see. Wanton Soup, Orcstain. There's several books between these two that I wasn't sure that I recognized it when I first started reading it, but then when I started seeing this artwork for this, it's like, I know this art so well. Like, I feel like I've seen this art in so many places, and I didn't know his name. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of buzz around this, that this James is apparently a longtime serious fan of the Aliens franchise and has had a lot of experience drawing amazing monsters and creating monsters. So yeah, there's a lot of buzz that this is going to be really fantastic. And, you know, Dark Horse does horror really well.
He has a really detailed art style.
He does. He does, which I think lends itself really well to, you know, that Geiger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Classic Geiger look
and
Aliens.
Horror in general.
Yeah. So that's what I've got. I mean, there's tons and tons of great horror and sci-fi comics continuing in 2017, but I really tried to kind of, like I said, minimize my list to things that were new series coming out, with the exception of Heathen, because if you guys aren't reading Heathen, you need to get on that shit. There's nowhere else where you're going to get lesbian Viking stories. So I think we'll take a quick break, and Sierra has a monstrous list of movies and TV for us.
Yep.
And we'll get started on that shortly. When the sun goes down, the armies of the voiceless, several hundred thousand strong, come out with their bandages, their voices raised in song. And when the streetlights sputter out, they make this awful sizzling sound. I cast my gaze toward the pavement, too many bloodstains on the ground. Rhode Island drops into the ocean, no place to call home anymore. Lovecraft and Brooklyn. Hello. Hey, who the fuck is this? And we're back, and we are going to continue with Sierra's gigantum list of TV and movies.
Yeah.
Which I had a feeling this was going to be the biggest one.
It definitely is. Let's start with movies.
I can't wait to hear this.
Literally right now, if you wanted to, you could go out and see a horror movie called Bye Bye Man, which looks like one of those kind of cheesy popcorn movies that isn't going to be super great, but will be a lot of fun.
Those ones are good for dates, especially first date.
So a group of friends and I are planning on going to see it, but we haven't had time to before this, so I don't have too much to say about it. But it just looks real cheesy and goofy. And then coming out later in January on the 20th is the movie Split, which is the next M. Night Shyamalan movie. And this one's about dissociative identity disorder, so like split personalities.
Wait, did you just give away the twist? How is he going to surprise us, Sierra?
It's in the name of the movie. So maybe he's just getting kind of lazy with his twist. Or there will be something more there.
I feel like this movie is named after like his career.
Yes, I agree.
Ouch.
Because I forget what the title was. The one about the kids going to see their grandma. And
oh, yeah.
That one was pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel like he's had some like pretty good things, but then some others that have been real bad.
That's what I mean. As soon as you said Split, I thought that's exactly how I feel about his movies.
And this one I feel a little iffy about because it's taking on the whole mental health thing. So I will totally see that and see how he deals with that to see if it's just like villainizing it or if there is more of a story there. It'll be interesting.
This can be touchy here.
It might make me really, really angry, or it might be good. And then a week later, on January 27th, the next Resident Evil movie is coming out. And this one's called Resident Evil, The Final Chapter. But the fact that there have been so many Resident Evil things makes me feel like this might not be the final.
It's just like
I don't trust that.
Every few years, you know, KISS does a final tour.
Final tour,
and
yeah.
And you know that's not the end of it.
But we're getting the new Resident Evil 7 game on like the 24th. Mm-hmm. And then a couple days later, a new Resident Evil movie. So that'll be a good week for Resident Evil fans. On February 1st, there's a movie called The Lore coming out, and this is a foreign film, which looks amazing. We posted the trailer to it on our Facebook page a couple days ago, and people got real excited about it. But it's about these women who are sirens.
Oh, yeah, that one!
Yeah, they're mermaids who I don't totally understand how, like, the rules of it, how it works, but they are women with legs, just normal women walking around for part of their time, and they're these performers and singers, and then they're also these man-eating mermaids, and it looks really beautiful, and like it's very like nightclubby, see, very sparkly and glittery and cool lights and everything. It looks really fun.
It has us written all over it.
Yeah, and it looks like the music is really good. Like, I'm really excited about this. I'm not totally sure how big of a release it'll get, but I assume that you can probably find it on video on demand or something like that.
So, like, let me ask you guys this. Do you think it might be like a Splash scenario where when they get wet, they turn into mermaids?
It looks a little bit like Horror Splash.
Right on.
Yeah.
Isn't there a photo of them like laying on the floor or something and their tails are mm-hmm. out?
And they're in the trailer, it definitely shows them in their tails, like either in the water or they're like performing. So, like, they show people that they're mermaids. Maybe everybody thinks it's a costume or something, but there's definitely a lot of man-eating in it, so that'll be
in non-horror, but definitely mermaid-related news, did you know that there's a new Splash coming out with Channing Tatum as the mermaid?
Really?
Yes.
Yes. That'll be fun.
Stop it.
I'm not even kidding. This is actually happening.
Oh, my God.
I don't believe you. It's this is the second part of Jackie's prank Melissa Knight. The first part was when she made me do weird things to your room.
It worked, didn't it?
Amazing.
It did.
The next movie coming out this year will be on February 3rd, and it's Rings. It's the new Ring movie. And I didn't totally go into a deep dive of whether this is a remake or a sequel. I think it's a sequel.
Yeah.
But it's just another story within the Rings universe of, if you watch this video, you're going to die, basically.
Wasn't there a Ring 2?
There might have been.
Mm-hmm. Was there?
Well, now
maybe
there's
this
Rings.
Is a prequel.
Maybe. That'd be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if I'll see it in the theaters. But it'll be interesting to see, because nobody's really thought about that movie for a while, I think.
I was actually just thinking the other day, I want to rewatch The Ring. Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
See if it holds up.
Yeah. Not only see if it holds up, like, I don't really think as highly of it as a lot of other horror fans seem to. So I feel like mm-hmm. maybe I was missing something.
I feel like maybe it kind of came out at a good time. Like, it wasn't a super great story or super great effects or anything. But the way that it was filmed and the way that it kind of messed with people's heads was, they hadn't totally seen that before. And now it's been redone a million times. I can't totally put my finger on exactly what it is, but
this is the third.
The third Ring
movie? By the
way.
I just looked that up. Yeah, it's
the third
in the franchise.
On February 3rd.
It looks like it's... Well, I think Ring 2 was connecting the same characters, because I think that also had... What's her name? Blonde?
Naomi Watts?
Yeah, Naomi Watts was also, maybe?
Totally,
and this one looks like
people.
It's a whole kind of different group
that'll
of people.
Be,
yeah.
That'll be interesting. And then there's another one that I forgot to put on my list, but it's called The Love Witch. I know it's coming to Seattle on Valentine's Day, because I kind of want to go see it on Valentine's Day.
Cute.
But it's about this witch who does love potions that accidentally kill people. Either it was filmed on actual film or made to look like it. And it's very like 70s themed, about this woman who's a witch and like does tarot and potions and all that kind of stuff.
So wait, does she like not know that her...
I think it was an accident. Yeah. And then she has to figure out what to do with the body.
Wait, I think this one's available now.
Oh, really? It might be that it's streaming and it's doing like a smaller release or something.
It's got a 95% Rotten Tomatoes rating, which is really good.
I think it'll be really good. That one's called The Love Witch. And then on February 17th, there are two horror movies coming out that I'm really excited for. The first one is A Cure for Wellness, and that one is not super clear exactly what the plot is, but it's set in this like asylum kind of place where it looks like they're doing like human testing either on people who are ill or people who like want to be better, like superhuman kind of thing.
Directed by Gore Verbinski.
Yeah, it looks very stylized and moody. And then the other movie that's coming out that day is called XX, and that's an anthology movie that is all of the stories are directed by women directors.
Are you allowed to use X's in the name of a movie if you're not casting Vin Diesel, though?
Like, maybe he'll make a cameo. But I'm excited to see this movie. I'm not totally sure about what themes it touches on so much or if it's a full through line with different kind of sections of the story, but I'm totally a sucker for horror anthology. And especially something that's specifically women directors. Sounds really interesting. Later that month, on the 24th, Jordan Peele from Key & Peele is doing a horror movie called Get Out, which looks real good. It's not goofy like you would expect maybe from a comedian directing a movie. I think he wrote and he's starring in it and maybe directing it. It looks like it kind of touches on themes of race as well as just like weird society, like weird neighborhood people, like you don't like they kind of take you into like a cult or something,
like a Levittown yeah. style thing where like everything is all
absolutely and then there's something going happy. On underneath the surface. And it's yeah, it starts out with Jordan Peele is dating this white woman and she takes him to meet her parents, and the whole like situation gets real weird real fast. So that one cool. will be really good. And then the next movie is one that has come out already, but it's getting a wider release on the 24th. The Girl with All the Gifts, which I think Melissa might have already seen, right?
I just realized that this was going to be my recommendation, and I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw it last week, so I wanted to put it on my recommendations, and I forgot until you just mentioned
it. Well, it was released in Europe, and for some reason, it seems like it didn't get a very good reception. And then now it's being released in kind of small theater releases in bigger cities, and then on the 24th it seems like it's going to be on like a full video on demand, easy to get. So you could either pursue that now or wait. I'm sure everybody's going to be talking about it soon because it looks real good.
I read this book.
Okay.
I love the book.
This seems like a fresh take on a zombie story. Melissa, what is this going
to
be?
Yeah, you want me to tell you about it?
Yeah, let's get mm-hmm. a synopsis.
So it's basically a story of there's a couple unique things about this zombie story. The first one is that the zombie virus is caused by actually a fungus that gets into the brain and changes people. It's like a parasite. The other thing that is amazing, which doesn't translate into the film, unfortunately, is that the book was actually written from a young girl's point of view, and she is a zombie. She's a child. She's like, I think she's 12 or something. The film is great, and I enjoyed it a lot, but I think you lose a little bit of the emotional impact because the film doesn't exactly tell it from her point of view, which is what the story does. So yeah, it's a story of they find that there are some of the children zombies that they start to find. This is post, you know, zombie apocalypse, if you want to call it that. Some of the children seem to maintain a certain level of human function, and behave differently. So the military decides to go out and snatch these kids up, and they put them into a base where they start to study them. None of this is a spoiler. It opens up immediately by introducing you to these kids, and they live in this bunker and they go to classes and they learn. And one particular little girl named Melanie develops a really close relationship with her teacher. And one day, as things will happen when you keep zombies around, the shit hits the fan.
It's inevitable.
And they end up having to go out on like a road trip.
Aww.
In a contained space where you've got this young girl who's a zombie and her teacher and a couple other people. And it's very much a human story, less than a zombie, and especially the film. The film spends very little time focused on the zombies. I'll just tell you that. So don't go into it expecting, mm-hmm. you know, it's like The Walking Dead. It's a character story.
It looks really good.
But it is a really totally unique take on zombies. And I thought the film was, I think the film will be more enjoyable to people who haven't read the story yet, because you won't really know
what you're missing. Yeah.
What's
lacking. If we ever do a Sirens of Scream book club, that would have to be one of our books. Because I want to read it real bad.
It's an amazing book. Yeah, it really hits you. It really hits you in the feels.
So moving along, on March 10th, we have two movies coming out. The big one is going to be Kong Skull Island, which I think it'll be pretty fun.
That looks fun.
I was just in Universal Studios a couple months ago, and the new Kong ride is open that I think is connected to the movie. And the ride was real fun. So if the movie's like a portion fun of as the ride experience, it'll be a good movie. Nice. But it seems like it's just a pretty standard Kong movie and what you would expect from that. And then the other movie coming out then is called Raw. This is a movie, it looks like kind of more of an indie flick. And it's about a vegetarian who gets stuck in a cannibal cult. So a lot of like graphic goriness and probably a lot of like queasy feelings are going to come out of that one.
I saw a trailer for this very recently, and it looks like it's going to be fun in a really uncomfortable
kind of
way. It looks fun
and intense. Yeah. But, you know, if you can stomach that kind of thing, it looks like it's going to be a good movie. And on March 17th, a movie called The Belko Experiment is coming out, and it looks like very much a torture, psychological horror kind of movie where a bunch of people are brought into an experiment where they're basically told to kill each other or else they're going to get killed. You can kind of see how that plot's going to play out. And then a couple days later on the 24th, a film called Keep Watching is supposed to come out. And that is a home invasion movie. From what I looked at it, it looks like a pretty standard home invasion story. I'm not sure if it's going to put anything more into that kind of genre or go in a different direction. But if you like home invasion movies, there you go. You're good. And then on May 19th, our very anticipated Alien Covenant is coming out. That'll kick off all the like summer blockbusters, I think. And that one looks real good.
It really does kick off quite a bit of like really big titles.
Real big ones. Damn. Yeah. Because then on June 9th, we get the Mummy remake and we get a second World War Z, which I was not even didn't know was happening. I didn't know people wanted another World War Z movie. But I guess that they're just printing money with that one, probably.
I'd like to just get the World War Z that's actually about the book.
I know. I want the stories.
That
I thought we were getting
the first time.
Yeah. But the Mummy remake will be interesting because it's supposed to be the first of a lot of modern Universal monster movies. This one has Tom Cruise in it. After that, there's supposed to be an Invisible Man movie, Wolfman, Van Helsing, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, and Dracula. It's a lot. They're like, bits that I read about it are people expecting it to be kind of like a Marvel franchisey thing where they kind of have their standalone stories, but then they're all in the same universe. So they kind of cross over.
So at the end, are they going to all come together and do the Monster Squad? And
I hope so.
Holy shit, that'd be funny.
So yeah, I'm really, really skeptical about it. We talked about it a little bit in our last episode about the history of horror, of how they're remaking these movies. And I'm worried that it's going to be just like a big explosions and constant, no, like nonstop thrills, like all of the action and none of the story.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Maybe it'll make people really interested in monsters again, which could be cool. And then in July, we get the Dark Tower movie on the 28th, which some people told us that they were super excited about, too. I never read the Dark Tower books. I think we've talked about this, but maybe not in an episode that got aired. But that'll totally be interesting and fun.
And that's coming out as a TV series as well, isn't it?
Boy, I'm not sure. It's definitely being a movie. There's definitely a movie this in 2017, and then it might be a TV.
There can't be a movie and a TV show in the same year, right?
I'm not sure if it's going to be the same year, but I know that they're both in progress right now.
Okay, so they might be developing the show right now.
Is the film the one with, what's his name, Idris Elba?
Mm-hmm. I think so. So that'll be exciting. I think maybe we'll redo the Stephen King episode that we tried to do that got lost.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Maybe we'll try to redo it around the Dark Tower. Or, jumping ahead a little bit, we could redo it around September 8th when It comes out. That would also be a good time to be talking about Stephen King. There's some good Stephen King
stuff coming out. There's a surprising amount of remakes and sequels coming out this year.
And I think if we took a list of every year, all the movies that came out, there would be, like, constantly a lot of sequels and remakes.
seeing it all at once in front of you.
But it seems like it's a lot. Yeah. Another one that's coming out on August 11th is Annabelle 2, which none of us, I think, are excited for. And that one is, of course, based off of the Conjuring movies, which we kind of, we love and we are angry with sometimes. And also being developed right now is the Nun movie, based off of the Conjuring 2. And that one's being developed right now, so they haven't had a specific release date yet, but I assume it'll maybe be late this year, maybe
the Nun. I am
year.
Cautiously optimistic about.
Me too.
Like, it
me
seems
too.
Like they could do a lot with that, but if it goes the way of Annabelle, I'm gonna be so mad.
Annabelle's just
bad.
They're just gonna like make a movie about every character that
they're
they found in the
gonna
house.
Walk
in
through
the
museum and be like, "What is this thing? I don't know. Let's make a movie about it."
Let's explore this for 2 hours and people will give us money. One that I'm real excited about is on September 29th, there's a Flatliners remake coming out.
Wow.
Which should be interesting.
I loved that movie when I was younger.
Yeah. It's a,
not that I don't still love it, it's a little dated now.
Which might make it would be interesting to see how they do a modern remake of that. Or if they're just going to remake it and be like, hey, remember when this happened? Here's some nostalgia. I would rather they kind of reimagine it a little bit, maybe. So we'll see how that goes.
Hard to remake something without Kiefer Sutherland.
I know. And then we're into October, which is, of course, all of our favorite month. And it's starting off on Friday the 13th with a Friday the 13th sequel. And this one, I wouldn't be super excited about, but it looks like they're diving into all of his family members and, like, getting into, like, the whole, like, not just his mom, but, like, all of the, like, random family members that have come up through, like, however many Friday the 13th movies there have been. So it'll be interesting to see how all of those tie together. And maybe, I feel like I kind of want to watch all of the Friday the 13th movies before I go see that one. So I kind of know who all these people are.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Like, that's one thing that I'm always interested in when watching a horror movie is, like, looking at the villain and be like, hey, buddy, what made you that way?
How did you get here?
What went wrong?
So if you want to do like a deep dive into Friday the 13th, that would be a really fun thing to do. And then on October 20th, we get another Insidious movie. I know. I really like the Insidious movies, but the fact that they're on to number 4 now makes me wonder how much more story they really have to tell. But I'm still excited for it. And then on October 27th, we're getting another Saw movie. This one's called Saw Legacy, which maybe implies that it's kind of the end of Saw, but maybe not.
I thought it was when the guy died the first time.
Well, now he has a legacy that somebody else needs to keep up or something like that.
Maybe they had a baby or something.
What's really weird about it is, and I might be wrong about this because I'm just looking it up now, but it doesn't seem like James Wan is involved in it. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh. Huh. It might be a throwaway movie, or it'll be interesting and good and worth seeing. We'll see. And then also on the 27th, the movie God Particle is coming out, and this is supposed to be the next movie in the Cloverfield series, which I didn't even know was happening. But I'm really excited
about. I didn't
either,
but that I'm way more excited about than Saw.
Yeah, me too. And so God Particle is supposed to be set in space as well. It's like astronauts in space, and I guess they kind of find the Cloverfield monsters or something. Something happens. It's very mysterious, but it'll be awesome.
I gotta look up a trailer after this. Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a trailer out yet. I saw some images and like very vague synopsises, which is par for the course for like, you know, it's kind of Cloverfield, but it's kind of not. And how do these things all relate? And then also, there's a bunch of movies. Ugh, I feel like I've been talking forever.
You're like halfway through your list.
There's a bunch of movies that have like.
That's how podcasting works, Sierra.
I found a whole bunch of things that like 2 years ago they said they were coming out in 2017, and then nobody said anything ever again. So I'm guessing aren't going to happen, but maybe will. A lot of those are either remakes or sequels, including Halloween, Children of the Corn, Chucky, Jeepers Creepers, Hellraiser, and Suspiria.
I've heard Suspiria is coming out this
I've
year.
Heard that one more too. Okay, I couldn't find any concrete
yeah
dates or anything. And then also I heard that Mama 2 is going to be coming out, or is at least being made. And I don't think any of us liked Mama, the first one, but apparently the folks who did Starry Eyes are going to be doing this one. So maybe if it's in different hands, it'll be different and we will like it. But I just thought that was
a note about Suspiria. The Suspiria remake. Yeah. It's got an IMDb page up, and supposedly it stars Dakota Johnson, Chloe Moretz, and Tilda Swinton. So,
interesting.
Worth a look.
Mm-hmm. And then I have a handful of TV shows that are coming out to get excited for. The first one is already out, and it's a series of unfortunate events. It's so good. Fun. I watched all of it last night. Tucker and I started watching. We're like, okay, we'll put on the first episode.
You watched the whole thing already? Whole thing.
Oh, it's so good. The first series is the first four books. So if you start watching it and don't, you won't be super satisfied with the ending because it's kind of a cliffhanger-y because there's still like a bunch more books to go through. And I didn't realize that. And so I got to the end and I'm like, wait, this is the end. I have to wait. So don't let that happen to you.
I've only watched two episodes of it and I did not read the books.
I read the books forever ago, so I can't totally remember everything that happens. But based on like comparing it to the movie adaptation, it's so much better.
Yeah?
Yeah, because the movie kind of took bits and pieces from all of the books, but then made the climax of the movie the same as like the first book. So it was all out of order and jumbled up, and the climax wasn't even
that great. Movie seemed like it was not only all over the place, but like a lot packed into such a short time.
Yeah, they tried to do way too much, and this is just a much better format for it. And Neil Patrick Harris is amazing.
And this was made by Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm. It's all on Netflix, and it's I'm really impressed by the production value of it, like, because they cover so much material and they go through so many different settings and so many different characters, and everything is done so well with so much detail. It's definitely made with a lot of love.
I didn't read the books, but I know the mm-hmm. concept of it. And I remember seeing that old Jim Carrey movie thing. It was kind of like, oh, this is such a cool idea. And then I saw it. Like, oh, yeah. not what I thought it was going to be. Okay.
Yeah. This is so much better. And it's very dark.
So, yeah, I've really been enjoying it.
So good in how dark it is, because like people in the books definitely die and people in the show die, and they don't like walk around it or anything. It's very blunt.
We are planning a future episode that's going to be based on horror mm-hmm. for kids, and I think this kind of fits into that category. And I was trying to figure out, I watched the first episode last night just with Ryan, and then I watched the second one today, and I tried to get Max to watch with me, and you know, we're like, I remember last night saying, oh, this is definitely for kids, mm-hmm. obviously. But he was not. He was just kind of like, what's happening? Who's that? Uh-huh. What? He just didn't. Yeah, he wasn't into it as much as I was hoping he would be. So I'm like, I don't know really what category of kids it falls into.
I feel like me and my friends. Like
8 and above or something.
The books are more for like 10, 12 kind of range. Maybe he's a little too young for it. But they're singing and everybody looks really wacky and great.
And Neil Patrick Harris.
The next one, I'm not sure if it's coming out on February 7th. I saw that date, but then there was no follow-up and there hasn't been a lot said. And I'm not even sure which network it's coming out on. But it's called Age of the Living Dead. And it's the human race was enslaved by vampires. And all of the like media for it says that it's Buffy meets The Walking Dead.
That sounds cool.
Which makes me skeptical. But it could be really fun. Or it could be one of those kind of garbage TV shows that you, like, hate watch. Either way, that's could be great.
But if you're the kind of person that has shame, it's going to be like a...
Yeah. I got yeah, it could be real bad, but guilty in a good pleasure. Way. The next one is also kind of in the same vein. It's called Time After Time. It's starting in March on the 5th. And it's coming out on ABC. But it's based off of an H.G. Wells story, and it's about time traveling and Jack the Ripper. It's like a sci-fi period drama. The fact that it's on ABC means it's not going to be super horrific or violent or anything, but it could be like a fun
this
story.
This is my super skeptical face here.
Yeah. But on April 26th, The Handmaid's Tale comes out on Hulu. And if you want to feel terrible about everything, that's going to be real good.
That seems really, it's going to get you really there. Fitting.
Yeah, that one's like, it's a Margaret Atwood story that's like kind of not post-apocalyptic, but dystopian future about women's roles. It's not necessarily horror, but it's kind of sci-fi dystopian future thing. So it fits. And they just released a trailer for it and it looks really good. Like it's gonna be true to the story.
I love that way that we recommend things on the show.
If you want to really horrible about everything, if you want to have a terrible time. And then on April 30th on NBC, a show called Midnight Texas is starting. It's based on a book series by the guy who did True Blood, and it's directed by the same person who did Mr. Robot. The synopsis is, it's a tale about a Texas town where no one is who they seem. From vampires and witches to psychics and hitmen, Midnight is a mysterious gathering place for all of those who are different. As the town members fight off outside pressures from rowdy biker gangs, ever suspicious cops, and their own dangerous pasts, they band together and form a strong and unlikely family. Just sounds like a fun story, like a hodgepodge of things.
But I'm super psyched for your next one. Oh my god.
I know, it's gonna... The next one is on May 21st. Twin Peaks is starting. Yes. On Showtime. It's gonna be so good. Yes. And this, I think it starts with like a 2-hour season premiere. And then I'm pretty sure that the next 2 episodes are playing right after it. So we get a whole bunch on May 21st. And then it's like week by week.
Nice.
So that'll be real
good. I don't know about you guys, but I will definitely be having a rewatch of the whole series before this.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And considering that every time I do a rewatch, I'm like, I finished it within a few days, maybe I'll have a couple. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe we need to do a Twin Peaks episode before that, yeah. Or just a Lynch episode before that.
We should.
And then kind of in the same vein as Twin Peaks, X-Files season 11 is confirmed. I'm pretty sure it's going to be coming out in 2018, though. But worth mentioning that it's coming up still.
Get that X-Files episode on the calendar too.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be a big one. And then another handful of things that don't have exact release dates but are probably going to come out this year. New Tales from the Crypt. I think they're just doing a couple of episodes, not like a full season. Coming out on TNT. And M. Night Shyamalan, our friend and enemy, is co-producing that. Our frenemy. American Gods is coming out on Stars. I saw some places saying that it was going to start in April, but there was not like an official thing. So I'm guessing later in 2017.
This is one I am personally really, really psyched about. This is like my absolute...
The book is so good.
Yeah, it's my favorite Neil Gaiman book. And he's been talking it up for so fucking long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm super excited about this one too.
We should do a Gaiman show as well.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That's almost as big as Stephen King in one episode.
AMC is working on a TV show called The Terror. It's based off of a 2007 best-selling novel by the same name by Dan Simmons, and this is about a team of like explorers, I guess, go missing, and it's kind of the mystery of what happens around them. The book kind of gets into more mythology and Inuit cultures, and there's like a monster is a part of it. It's all very not super clear how much the TV show takes off of the book itself, but that looks like it'll be really good if it ever happens. And then also a bunch of remakes or adaptations. The Brothers Grimm, which was like that 2005 movie, was supposed to be made into a TV show. They were talking about that in like 2014, 2015.
Well, they did make show Grimm, which is
Yeah, I
terrible.
Think they're doing an additional thing. They're also working on a Twilight Zone show on CBS, which will be interesting because apparently there's like an interactive game element to it too, so maybe that'll just be dumb social media promotion, or maybe it'll be like a cool art piece. And then Spike is doing an adaptation of The Mist, and then another TNT show, apparently they're doing a show for Let the Right One In.
I'm annoyed about
it. Yeah, I don't know if that's even ever gonna get to public eye, but I figured it should be on the list because it sounds interesting.
Yeah, I feel like I should be a bigger person and be open-minded about it, but fuck it. I am annoyed about it. Just leave it alone.
Don't you touch it. I've been hurt before.
There's a pretty big one. There's a pretty big one missing off of this list, I have to say.
Oh, yeah.
Stranger Things.
We are getting season two.
Season
two? In 2017? Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was at least 2 years away, but that's my bad.
This article from January says there's no release date yet, but they're saying definitely 2017, probably summer.
Okay, cool. That's awesome.
Can't forget about our favorite show ever of the past 2 years.
One thing I've read about the season two synopsis is that Barb will get her due. Like, she'll get justice in the second one, which mm-hmm. I'm excited about.
I heard that too. And I also, I think I heard that they only kind of added that into the story after everybody was so in love with Barb. And, like, everybody on social media was like, where is justice for Barb? So that's cool that they're actually, like, listening to fans.
Sierra, you also gave us two more things that didn't quite fit into your category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a podcast that is supposed to come out this year. It's about, have you guys heard about Polybus?
No.
It's this urban legend where around Portland, Oregon, I think in like the 80s or something, these big box arcade games called Polybus started popping up. And they had like no branding on them or anything. And these kids would play them and then suffered from like headaches and just like weird side effects from the game. And then all the games disappeared without any explanation. And then all of the people who had played it started like getting really paranoid that they were being followed. And it's this big conspiracy of whether this was actually like a real thing or not. Because there isn't super, super good documentation about whether those things were actually put in like the public's hands or if it was like a weird experiment or something.
Holy shit, you have my interest. This sounds fascinating, honestly.
Yeah. So these guys were going to do a movie documentary about it, interviewing people who had claimed to play it and like going around Portland trying to like track down where these games were. And they didn't really get all the Kickstarter funds that they had needed. So all of the material that they gathered, they're going to release as a podcast instead. And they were on an episode of Bizarre States recently talking about it. So if you want to learn more about it, you can listen to that. Or this podcast is going to come out sometime this year.
And that's called The Trace?
The Trace. And then the one other thing that I'm super excited about is maybe a more sci-fi mystery kind of thing. But it's a book called Universal Harvester by John Darnell. He is from The Mountain Goat. He wrote Wolf in White Van, which is super good.
I knew that name sounded familiar.
Cool. Yeah. So Wolf in White Van is really good. I super recommend that you read it. So the main character, Jeremy, works at a video hut in Nevada, Iowa. It's a small town.
Already creepy.
Already weird. And there's this like stuff with like his mom and his family drama. But the real weird bits are that some VHS tapes that are returned, people are complaining that there's something wrong with them. So he starts watching them and they cut and there's like weird stuff on the videotapes. It's not super clear like what is going on there. But then this kid kind of takes it upon himself to figure out the mystery of why all these tapes are weird and altered.
That sounds weird.
So that's a book that's coming out in February that I'm super excited to read.
Melissa's going to solve this mystery.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to know what's up with this tape.
I'm quizzing it in my head already. Skeptical. If I could just piggyback on the Sierra's thing here, if anybody wants to get caught up, we did not do a sort of conglomerate best of episode here on the Sirens, but one of our contributors and our editor, Ryan, actually did a top 10 horror movies of 2016 article on Mega Nerd Media.
It's good.
Which has... Yeah, it's got several movies that we've talked about and several that I had never heard of, which I kind of inadvertently saw while he was screening for this. And they're really fantastic. There's a lot on that page. So if you want to get caught up and see what you missed on 2016 before we launch into the new year of gigantic list that Sierra has for you. We also got a couple social media shout outs today of things that some of our listeners were excited about. See, Alex at Impera83 said he's excited about Shadows on the Grave from Richard Corbin, which is a Dark Horse Comics comic book series. Looks like it's a black and white.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Really interesting, unique artwork. I wasn't familiar with this, but I'm going to check it out. Let's see, what else do we have? Our friend Jeremy Hatchett is excited about Resident Evil, which we talked about.
Which, by the way, as we talked about this throughout this episode, it didn't even occur to me, our next episode is about Resident Evil.
It is.
Oh, so that's we're right.
Gonna dive into that pretty hardcore next episode.
So much Resident Evil. Let's see, what else do we have? Sammy Castle is excited about It and the Dark Tower, which we named, and a short... Looks like a new horror short called Midnight Shift from Wreak Havoc Productions is going to be coming out too. And he had mentioned that. Ryan Megan again sent us, he wanted to talk about Annihilation, which is from Alex Gardner, who did Ex Machina and 28 Days Later. I looked this one up very briefly, and this looks really interesting and cool too.
Do you have a general synopsis for this?
Let me see. I've got one. IMBD has one sentence.
That's says, all you need.
A biologist signs up for a dangerous secret expedition where the laws of nature don't apply.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, there's not a... Let's see. Oh, here we go. A biologist who's played by Natalie Portman, her husband disappears. She puts her name forward for an expedition into an environmental disaster zone, but does not find what she's expecting. The expedition team is made up of a biologist, an anthropologist, a psychologist, and a surveyor.
I think I saw something about this recently.
Ooh, and Oscar Isaac is in this one too. And Jennifer Jason Leigh.
You mean my boyfriend?
Your boyfriend. Yes. That Oscar Isaac. And Jennifer Jason Leigh. It's got a pretty good cast.
Sounds like it's going to be fun.
I think that's everything.
That's a lot. I hope. No, I don't hope that's everything. But damn, that's a lot.
It's so much. It's so much. And of course, we have recommendations every single episode. So I'm sure we'll add a ton more onto this. Did we miss anything here?
If so, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah, I feel like I tried to get everybody. We got a couple shout outs tonight, things that people want to talk about, so I hope I got everything. I think that's it. I think we're gonna wrap this episode up tonight and not keep you guys on too super long, because our last few episodes have been like 24 hours long or something. And our dear editors are ready to strangle us if we don't stop talking. So like Jackie mentioned, our next episode is going to be on Resident Evil. I'm not sure yet how we're going to tackle that as far as games, comics, movies, so much.
We'll work it out for you guys, though.
Jackie will figure it out.
I'm totally on it. Totally. Yeah, I'm on it.
So the Sirens of Scream is a member of the Mega Nerd Media family. Visit meganerdmedia.com for geek-related columns, reviews, interviews, and videos. You can reach the Sirens via email at sos@meganerdmedia.com. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and on Tumblr as Sirens of Scream. And please do reach out to us and say hello, because we love to hear comments and we love to hear about what you guys are loving in the show. If you have any feedback for us, let us know. We'll listen.
Mm-hmm.
We won't be mean, I promise. We might eat a finger or something, but it'll be nice. So I think that's it, everybody. Have a great night.
Good night.
I've seen the nations rise and fall. I've heard their stories, heard them all. But love's the only engine of survival. Threshold.